Yeah, he's recording.
He's recording. Make sure to email it right after so we can put up Tavshin Ayin Chet. We already leave with put on this thing. He had a tweet I saw. So Mr. Mazel Tov on his daughter for Daf Yomi because they were listening to the previous cycle. That he said he had a daughter that was born. Someone's listening to it now. They thought his daughter was just born in this cycle.
Okay, so I want to discuss this week an issue relating to Hanukkah. This is a broad topic. We'll try to cover what we can here. And that is somebody who doesn't have a classical home to light in, what they do about Hanukkah lights. And there are a number of permutations here in different circumstances. But first, from an analytical perspective, we have three sugyas. You know, if we're going to analyze what is the mitzvah, is the mitzvah on the home or is the mitzvah on the individual? So the famous Bryce in source one, Ner mitzvah Chanukah, Ner Yeshu Beso, which we all translate as a man per, you know, one person per house, which sounds like it's a chiyuv on the house. You could read it that the focus, you know, you could read it as the focus is on the ish. We'll see. The Rambam definitely does not read like that.
Beto is ishto, no?
Yeah, but not in this case. This is the house. Then we have another sugya that an achsanai, somebody who's a guest, is chayav b'ner Chanukah. He has an obligation to light Chanukah lights. And what does he do? He's mishtatef b'pruta. He contributes a pruta to the host. And then a third sugya. So there is this concept of birchas haroah, that if somebody sees the Chanukah lights, they make the bracha the first night, they make a shas anisim and shechiyanu, and then the rest of the nights they make just a shas anisim. So let's just go through how the Rishonim use these sugyas to make the point here about whether it's an obligation on the house or an obligation on the individual. The Rambam states explicitly, mitzvasa shehei kol bayis ubayis madlik ner echad. Right, the mitzvah clearly, according to Ram, is on the house. Meaning, each house has an obligation to make sure, like a mezuzah, you have to make sure that there are mezuzahs on the house. You have to make sure that each house has candles lit. Tosfos writes, one of the reasons why Tosfos writes that the reason why there's a birchas haroah, because there are certain people that they don't have a house. They have no other way to fulfill the mitzvah. But Tosfos put it for the first reason. Let's leave that for now. Tosfos says, according to the second reason, that they were misnagging Birchas Haroah because if you don't have a house, you don't have a mitzvah. Okay, so there seems to be this kind of hybrid here, meaning that we want to have people fulfill a mitzvah without a house, but the primary mitzvah is on those on the house and not on the individual. The Rosh writes, why can't a guest fulfill his obligation through the house without contributing a pruta? Because it's not part of the house. Meaning what? When we say Ner Yeshu Beso, it's not the four walls of the house, it's the family, meaning you're living in a house, so you're not part of that house. You know, I'm sorry, you're a guest in a house, you're not part of that house unless you're living there. So if you don't contribute a pruta, you're not part of the house. It's not that the pruta is necessarily going to pay for, you don't have to pay 50%, that's what the Rosh says. You don't have to pay, or if there's eight people, you don't have to pay one-eighth of the shemen. You pay one pruta just so that you're a part of the house. But the Ran point, you know, flips it again. Sort of like what Tulsa says. Aval pisha ain lo bias. Lo tam din near Chanukah din mezuzah. It's not like mezuzah. The chol misha ain lo bias pader min mezuzah. Meaning the achsanai is chayev. The guest is chayev to light. And the only way he's going to fulfill the mitzvah is if he becomes part of the house. If not, he ostensibly has to light on his own. So let's look at Shulchan Aruch and source. He's achsanai shein madlikin alav beveso. Just back up 1 second. The Trumas Hadeshin, it's not in the source. Trumas Hadeshin talks about, let's say you're a traveler and your wife is lighting at home, So, do you have to? Are you allowed to light, or do you have to light? So the Truma Sedeshin says, even though your wife can light for you, and you'll fulfill the mitzvah through your wife, but if you want to light on your own, that's also fine. And the Beis Yosef says, wait a second, how do you? You can't do that. Meaning, if you're not chayiv in the mitzvah, you can't just light and make a bracha. It's a bracha levatala. So the Rama in Tafresh Ayin Zayin, I think it's Gimel, defends, or he maintains, like the Truma Sedeshin, that even though your wife is lighting for you, you're allowed to have, and the Mishnah Berurah says you have in mind not to be yotze the mitzvah. This is in Sif Gimel. You can have in mind not to be yotze the mitzvah with your wife and light on your own. But he does point out that there are achronim who follow the Beis Yosef's reasoning and say that if you're not chayiv, you can't fulfill a mitzvah. I mean, you can't make a brach on your own, and you're going to be yotze with your wife. It should be noted that a lot of these discussions we're going to discuss now are not so relevant for Sfardim for this very reason, because Sfardim go with Neri Shubeso and the Mahadran is within one member of the household. So if you already have a member of the household lighting, you're not going to try to necessarily, between this and the fact that the Beis Yosef rejects the Truma Sedeshin, you're not going to, our traveler is going to primarily rely on whoever's lighting in his house and not when they're on the road. Okay, now the Mishnah Berurah comes along with an idea in Source 9 that Rabbi Soloveitchik was he didn't think was correct. The Mishnah Berurah says that you can be Mishnah for Peruta. You go to somebody's house, a common scenario. You go to somebody's house for the night, so you can contribute a Peruta, or the Mishnah Berurah says, or you could just light on your own. Meaning, Mishnah for Peruta is if you don't have the, you forgot to bring your candles, or candles are too expensive. So then you're a guest in the house. You could be mishat in pruta.
Buy stock.
What?
Pay stock.
Right. But the Mishnah Berurah says that you don't have to do that. If you want, you can light on your own. So that's a chiddush. Another chiddush of the Rama here, he talks about the following. Let's say you're eating in one place and sleeping in another place. And here's where we get into all the practical discussions. You're eating in one place and sleeping in another place. So Rama says that Bizman Zed Shmaligim Bifnim, that you can eat Bimakam Sha'ochel. So let's say you're at a guest house. You don't have to light in your bedroom, which is the most private area. You can light in the dining room, which is where you're eating. And you'd be yotzei the mitzvah like that. Again, that's not. And then the Bir Halachi discusses the following. Let's say there's a married couple, a young married couple, and they go to the in-laws, parents, in-laws, whatever, and he says for the whole 8 days of Hanukkah. So then they can light in the place where they're staying for those 8 days. So the practical questions that come up is, let's say you're going away for one night, what do you do? What do you do in a dormitory? What do you do if you're on a boat, on a plane, on a train? So in the next 7 minutes, we'll discuss some of these questions. So Rav Shalom Shvadron, the Marsham, talks about a train. And he says that, in the old days, the trains, people used to go for sometimes for all day or a long trip. A long trip, and the seats are a little bigger than airplane seats. You can recline, you can go to sleep. So, right, the trains, right, the Amtrak trains are big, you can go to sleep, and so he says that that's your house for the night, and you could theoretically light in your seat. They're not going to let you on the Amtrak, but in the days of the Marsham, if you wanted to, you could. Rav Yashiv is quoted in the Shavuos Yitzchak, it's source 14, as saying that's not true when it comes to an airplane. And he says, Ohel Zara Glav Shmeol, that a flying Ohel is not considered a real Ohel. That's not a permanent structure at all. The Marsham himself writes that if you're on a boat, leaving aside the practical issues of lighting on an outdoor boat, but if you're on a boat that doesn't have an enclosure, so then you cannot light because it's subject to the elements. That's not considered a real home. So Rav Eliashiv kind of applies that to an airplane as well.
You can light.
The Marsham, I'm not sure. I think if someone was lighting in your house, that would probably be the better option than lighting on a train. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, he thinks that the train and the plane are considered a suffix, because that's not really, you can't make your home out of an airplane seat or out of a train seat. But if it's a little bit larger, let's say, like he was asked about soldiers in a tank, so they can sometimes sleep there and be there for a few days at a time, so that's a real home. Again, you know, there are practical issues of lighting inside a tank, but if you could somehow figure out how to do that, you'd be chayv. He talks about a foxhole, like the army camps out in a foxhole, and they're going to be there for a few days. So that's considered a home, and you can light. He also points out, we didn't. This is a separate shiur, maybe next year, by using a flashlight. For the not with a bracha, but without a bracha to light with a flashlight, if lighting with real candles is not practical. What about sleepover guests? So the Mishnah Berurah seems to implies that you have to be there for the whole Hanukkah. Then you're not then you're living in that new house. That's your new home. The later post from Rav Shlomo Zalman already says that we're makel even for one night. So you're sleeping over for one night, so that's where you live for that night. You can light in that house. Again, the question is where to light within the house. You know, it has to be somewhat of a place that's more miyuchah to you, ideally, which we'll discuss in a second. But you can light in that house. And that brings us to the question of the dormitory. So this is a big, big to-do. We're in a yeshiva dormitory, so, you know, and the poskim, you know, may be dealing with the question from different angles, depending on how it's presented, meaning in some places the people are more responsible and you can trust them to light in the dorm, and some places you cannot. So the options are to light in the actual dorm, which is obviously the most dangerous. Then the next option is, can you light in the cafeteria? Because that's the place where they eat. So it's not the most private location, but they have a main, meaning that's considered a significant hishtamshus. They use that room, they use the dining room all the time. That's where they eat. So Sternbach says that that would be a valid place to light. Moshe writes that they should just, you know, do it in the dorm and just stand there with the lights the whole time, even though the Ramah says b'makom she'ochel, wherever you're eating, that's only in a private location. But in a cafeteria, that's not a private location. That would not suffice. Well, first you have to, first you have to have the bias. This is more of a hashkafic question. Why is it that the bias is so important when the whole point is pursue menisa? But the assumption is you can't light just in the middle of the street, and that's not your house, and you're not able to do the mitzvah like that.
If you're in a dormitory, it's a place that you have more people seeing it.
Right, you have more people seeing it. Yeah. The question is, do you need to have a private location, or meaning what's considered a house? So, and Rav Shlomo Zalman prefers to light in the dorm, but he says that really anywhere where the dormers have use of the building, which may include, you know, it may even include like the lobby where people can kind of hang out and they can use the lobby for their own needs, so to say. So that would be sufficient. The same would apply to a hotel. Although hotels aren't going to be as flexible, but you can't really light in the room. And then the question is whether, you know, if it's a kosher hotel, maybe you can talk about the cafeteria or the or whatever, the restaurant. But if it's a non-kosher restaurant, you certainly have no hishtamshus there. So unless, you know, you have to figure out if there's a place, you could rely maybe on Rav Shlomo Zalman to light in the area where there's some sort of private establishment where it's not open to everybody. So those are some of the issues.